You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, like the dude just said, conservative. Yes, he did say that too. And just plain right. So here we are. It is Thursday afternoon, 4.07 p.m., which, you know what that means? It's time for one of my favorite segments. We call it the Grand Council. So, Copper, get the horns ready. I shall take roll. First of all, FM Talk 106.5 and political editor for 1819 News. Do I have a Jeff Poor handy?
I am present.
You are indeed. All right. And right here from WVNN, the morning show guy slash program director slash I Do Yellowhammer slash I Do TV guy, Dale Jackson. Are you here?
Dale Jackson present and accounted for, Colonel.
Oh! Thank you. Thank you. At ease. Carry on. All right. I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council. Copper, play it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. Okay. All right. We're in. Okay, guys, you know the rules. We ping each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. Sometimes we can guess what they are, but then we see how we do on the answers. We always try to agree. We don't always agree. We love each other nonetheless when it's over. So, Jeff, you go first.
I never get to go first. I'm just throwing that out there.
Did he do that?
You did last week.
He just, you know, you're so sensitive, Dale Jackson. Okay. Dale, do you want to go first? Would it make you feel better?
It actually would.
Jeff, can you cede your position as first?
No. No. You wait your turn, mister.
Yes, sir.
I'm up first here. Let me ask y'all this.
Go.
The buzz that won't go away, the Alabama Republican Party steering committee talking about even the notion of taking Katie Britt off of the ballot probably won't happen, but what do you make of this discussion still lingering?
Well, you know what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let Dale answer first because I know how sensitive he is. Dale, go ahead.
I think unless they find some video of her hammering in Doug Jones signs in her yard or talking up Doug Jones or begging people to vote for Doug Jones or find some email that was written saying she supports Doug Jones, unless they have like some sort of actual evidence, I think this goes absolutely nowhere and might actually be making her a somewhat sympathetic figure that they're trying to get off the ballot.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about the sympathetic figure piece because I don't think anybody's sympathetic to, you know, organizing crossover voting. But then again, there's, like you said, there's no proof. And so I think what we're hearing right now is supposition and what ifs. Now, we do have that, you know, Wade Perry from the executive director of the Democratic Party saying she was so helpful on the Doug Jones thing and all that, which is weird and doesn't help her campaign. But I don't see any serious legitimate conversation right now about taking her off the ballot. Now, is it going to lead to other things like banning crossover voting? Maybe. Your own question, Jeff. Your thoughts.
I think it's you don't need to discount it because I know the steering committee is having to deal with it. I've heard some gripes from members of the steering committee. If you look up and down that list too, there's a lot of pro Katie Britt individuals. Some that are working for her campaign right now on that list, and they're not thrilled, but the discussion is ongoing.
Well, that's interesting, and this is not a question per se, but, you know, it kind of odd thing is the other day she did not appear at two scheduled appearances, one in Shelby County, one in Marshall County. She was scheduled to speak to two Republican groups and just didn't show up, and so the speculation was she didn't want to have to deal with that question, so maybe so. I don't know. Dale Jackson, please.
Are you suggesting that she's Mike Duranting this thing and just saying, oh, no, I'm in first, I'm going to be okay? That's okay.
What I'm suggesting is she didn't show up. Okay. And we don't know why. I mean, for all I know, she was at Mar-a-Lago courting Trump's endorsement. I have no idea. But anyway, well, what is the question that you were so eager to ask us, Dan?
I wasn't eager. I just wanted to go first, really. I was just being kind of petulant about the whole thing. But here's my question. Tonight is the made-for-TV after-school special about the January 6th event. We got it going on. Is this the night that changes everything? Is this where they finally get Donald Trump?
Jeff, you go first.
I told you all this last week. I think this hurts. their cause more than it's going to help.
Yeah.
I think it's oversold.
Agreed.
I think it's overplayed. And the people that aren't pissed off about it being on air and interrupting whatever it is they had planned for tonight on TV, the ones that are tuning in are going to be completely underwhelmed and disappointed. And I don't think that goes to a good place.
Yeah, I think it's another example of overextension. You think you got a thing. We're going to make something happen. I'm Adam Schiff. I'm Eric Swalwell. I'm Adam Kinzinger. I'm going after Trump. And I think it's juvenile, the very fact that they would do this as a prime time. We're going to show the world. That's not the way Congress is supposed to act. And me personally, I'm going to see Top Gun tonight. So there. Your own question, Dale. You talk about it.
Oh, I think you guys are right. I think Jeff hits on something pretty clear. You know, if we have a tornado that kills 27 people in Alabama and the coverage of it interrupts the wheel, people get pissed. And I hear from people in the newsroom all the time. They called us and yelled at us because the middle wasn't on. And it's like, what is the middle? I don't even know what that is. And then they're like, people are still mad that you've interrupted their stories. So I think Jeff's right about that. If you want this, you've been all over this for the last year, and you're going to go seek it out. If you just come upon it, you're probably going to be annoyed.
Well, and who is it? I think it's the Washington Post or somebody is taking issue with the fact that Fox News is not going to air it live. They're going to let Tucker Carlson go ahead and do his show.
That's going to be a whole other narrative is going to be those evil bastards at Fox News wouldn't cover it because they know if their audience saw this evidence, that would be where they get Trump.
So. Wait till the ratings come out and Fox News beats NBC or CBS or ABC, and it's going to be completely embarrassing.
It's going to beat all of them combined. All right, listen, my question, going back to this question of crossover voting. All right, so Jeff, you had what's his name? Boyd, I think, the chairman of the Baldwin County.
Michael Hoyt, yes.
Hoyt, I'm sorry. You had him on your show. He's a county party chair, and he's openly expressing that it may be time to look at closed primaries. So Alabama is one of those states that has hung on. And by the way, I remember legislation when I was in office. We dealt with this conversation about do we close the primaries? And we did shut down the crossover, you know, between the primary and the runoff. But we left it open because we felt like it's a First Amendment right. But now more and more what you seem to be seeing is Democrats in a one-party state who strategize ways to try and weaken the influence of conservatism by going and influencing the votes for the less conservative candidate. So are we headed towards a closed primary is my question. Dale, you first.
I think absolutely. I think we're heading that way. I remember when those votes were up and I was complaining about it. I was complaining that you guys were going to do it. And I'll tell you right now, I feel really stupid. I'll be completely honest with you. I feel really dumb at this point because it sounds like you guys were right. So nobody really cares until their ox gets gored, right?
Well, all right. Or is in a ditch or something. Yeah.
Yep.
Jeff, your thoughts. Where are we going with this thing?
Yeah, I think they're going to try. I don't know, though. It's hard to gauge where the legislature is right now. They may not want closed primaries because their fear is that they may have their own primary challenges to the local John Birch Society guy or whatever. And that because if we know anything about the Alabama legislature, and we talk about it on this segment every week, how watered down milk toast they could be sometimes on some of the big conservative hot buttons of the day. Well, one might wonder if they had a closed primary, would they be worried about the more activist Republican winning those primaries?
And I think they absolutely would. And I think it's going to wind up being – it's exactly that debate. It's going to wind up being those who are more moderate centrist hanging on by the skin of their teeth, not wanting to close the primaries because they know that, like you said, that brings a more able challenge for them to have to deal with. But I tell you what, though, the interesting piece of this is where you can see it is Jeff, you and I have talked about it here too, is that down in Lee County where Senator Whiteley, the incumbent, lost by one vote and he's trying to challenge it on the basis of crossover voting. You know what? It's not against the law to crossover vote right now. I guarantee you if Whiteley somehow makes it through and comes back in, he'll be the first one to drop a bill because we know that Democrats actually did organize to go against Whiteley in a personal vendetta. If there were five Democrats who crossed over to vote, they influenced it enough. He lost by one. It would have changed things. There's that. All right, I tell you what, Copper, perfect time for a break. Let's do that. We are finished with round one of the Grand Council, where we wow each other with our political prowess and ask questions. Attempting to stump the other never works. All right, I'm on here with a bunch of geniuses. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're going back to the Grand Council right now. I've got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5. He's also the political editor, 1819 News, and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, program director extraordinaire and morning show guy. We're in round two of the Grand Council. We're back to you, Jeff Rowe. What you got?
So down here in Mobile, in Midtown Mobile, there's a cannon. It's kind of a landmark.
Oh, yeah.
They have painted it the rainbow colors for Pride Month. And I have a question for you guys. Not that I'm opposed to Pride Month or whatever, but do y'all ever remember Pride Month being celebrated to this level? No. The month of June being Pride Month in recent memory? Because I do not.
No, it's like a feeding frenzy right now. So let me ask you a question. Who is they? Who painted the freaking cannon rainbow colors?
I guess they had the city do it.
Really?
There's a couple of high-ranking officials in the mayor's office as well.
So
I'm
that
told.
Doesn't qualify under the monuments law to be protected, not be altered, amended, or moved?
Well, so they paint it. They do this all the time. There's a high school rivalry down there where the winning team gets to paint it a color, and they do it's one of these monuments where the paint is temporary and it's just kind of a thing. Yeah.
Okay, that's so more reasonable.
All right. Well, on the one hand, I feel better because they didn't permanently disfigure the ancient cannon. But number two, I look at it and go, why? But no,
well,
to answer your question, I don't recall ever seeing this level of like frenetic activity on Pride Month. I mean, I really don't. I mean, it's like the Marine Corps putting out the rainbow on the on the helmet, and every Paramount is running commercials right now celebrating the gay lifestyle. I'm looking at it going, my gosh, you would think that it was more than just the 4% of America that's actually gay. But Dale, you go ahead and tick everybody off. What do you think?
No, hearing what Jeff's saying here now makes me feel a little bit better about it than I, as opposed to how I felt before, because I didn't realize that this was just something they were doing all the time. So I don't really have much of an issue with it now. But it is, look, what's the goal of Pride Month or whatever? What's the goal? The goal is acceptance and everyone getting along, right? Let's just put it as simply as we can. This isn't the way you do it. No. You don't go out and you make rainbow cannons and things like this. It just seems kind of silly. And it's ridiculous pandering. It's embarrassing. It's like Burger King in Austria had two top buns on a burger. And it's like, on top of that being stupid, that's not how gays work. And so two tops don't get together. That doesn't make any sense. So it just dumb, ridiculous pandering, and that's all this is.
Your own question, Jeff. Wrap it up. What do you think on it?
I don't know what to think of it. I think possibly that this is some kind of nod to Madison Avenue that probably has a higher percentage of the gay lifestyle than America. But it doesn't really reflect the public and the craze. It just seems way overblown. This is not organic, and I really do wonder what's going on here.
What's going on here is the whole ESG movement, the wokeism, the determination that we will comply, and that those in our society who are among the smallest minority have to be considered the majority. And that's just anyway.
Well, just real quick, Ash, though, is all of this embraced by corporate America of this, is this selling any product? Because I don't think it is.
No. I think it's alienating
the
consumer at this point.
Yeah. I mean, every person we know knows, we all know woke people, and even the woke people we know are like, oh my God, come on. Do I really need to see this every 2 seconds?
No, exactly, I've seen reports saying that some members of the gay community are like, stop it, you're not helping us.
Yeah, stop pandering to us, please.
All right, we're getting close to the end here. Dale, your question. What you got?
All right, I got a pretty simple one for you. A guy gets gunned down at a school in Gadsden trying to get in, apparently, breaking into cars and stuff like this. The sheriff there, or police chief, whichever one, was very happy about the SRO situation. Wants more SROs in his schools. Will this story get buried, or will we be talking about this tomorrow?
No, I think Republicans are going to grab hold of this and say, look, it works. When you do it this way, it works. They kept the doors locked. They had single point of entry. They had lockdown procedures. They had emergency notifications, and they had an SRO, and the bad guy's dead. And I think that's what's – I think Republicans are going to grab hold of the story, and little Walnut Park Elementary School in Gadsden, Alabama, is going to become the watershed moment for how it could work. That's what I think. Jeff?
Well, I kind of wonder, are we going to get another line item in the ETF that's going to pay for these SROs? Is that how this is going to work? Even more money for education spending? Because I can't imagine this is a cheap thing to do.
No, it's not cheap at all. In fact, we did consider some of that when I was there. And it's not going to be cheap at all, because every SRO comes, I mean, depending upon the county and the base pay for a deputy, and when you roll their whole package into it, you're paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 per SRO. It's like hiring a first-year teacher, absolutely, and then putting one in every school. But anyway, it's gonna be tough, and I think they got to deal with it. All right, fellas, we ran out of time. I didn't get to ask my third question, but as always, great stuff. Hey, Jeff Poore, thank you. Dale Jackson, thank you. Audience, thank you. It's the Grand Council. We do it every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Dale Jackson from WVNN, FM Talk 106.5's Jeff Poore from the Nether Region of the States, and me, the Grand Council on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.